Scriptures say be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything in the practical, plain language. Don't worry about anything. To live in a world like we live in and not worry about anything is one of the greatest challenges that we have to deal with as Christians. Amen. And yet we're told, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, with prayer and supplication. Now, supplication is not something to throw us off. It just means definite requests. We go to God, we tell Him exactly what the situation is in our life in prayer. We look to Him as our source to help us through those things in our life. With prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. That's key. Most of the time we pray and wait to see if God comes through, and particularly on our timetable before we start complaining. I think I've got a statement somewhere up online that says, or actually a title of a sermon, I believe, or statement within a sermon that says, you know you're growing when you quit groaning. Amen. You know you're growing spiritually when you quit bellyaching. When I quit bellyaching. How many's ever bellyached before? They used to call it the mully grubs. I don't know what that means. It's some kind of terminology about always being upset and complaining about something. Amen. Asaph in the Old Testament, the Bible said that he was disappointed in not seeing God move like he used to. He said, just knowing how you used to move and not seeing it now, said it breaks my heart. And he said, when I complained, my heart was overwhelmed. In the wilderness journey, when they complained, snakes came out of the wilderness and bit them all. And yet God, in His mercy and grace, in spite of their doubt, unbelief, and their accusations of Him, you know, He must hate us. He brought us out here in the wilderness to leave us to die. No, He didn't hate them. He didn't bring them out to leave them to die. He brought them out to bring them in. Amen. To the promised land. Amen. And He would have if they hadn't just got their eyes off of Him and begin to complain about Him not being faithful and moving in unbelief instead of faith. So we have a challenge not to worry about anything. But in all things with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. While you're praying, give Him thanks. What for? Because you have access to the God of glory, the God that made heaven and earth, who has now become your heavenly Father. To the degree that you can call Him Abba Father and have the Holy Spirit bear witness to the absolute fact and truth of it. That blows me away. I mean, I've been preaching the gospel for over 50 years, probably 53 if my count is right. And every time I come to the Lord and I say, Our Father, I stop right there and say, wow. To be able to call the God of glory, the God that dwells in unapproachable light, the God that angels that minister in His presence have to shield themselves from the glory, to be able to come to Him and call Him not only Father, but Abba Father. Yeah. Hallelujah. Dada. First words formed by infants to acknowledge their daddy. And I don't call Him Daddy God. He is my Father, and He's my Abba Father. But He's also the God of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. So the pattern prayer tells us, approach Him like this. Acknowledge Him as your Father. That intimate, personal, paternal relationship that you have with Him. But hallowed, holy be Thy name. Praise God. I got to where I do that over my blessing. I don't just say, Father, in the name of Jesus. I say, Father, hallowed be Thy name. And then go on with what? It's just me. That's just me. Because Jesus said, when you pray, when you approach God, yes, approach Him as your Father. I like what one of those guys that came to our church years ago during the 60s and early 70s when a lot of hippies came to the Lord. And he called himself when he called me on the phone. He said, Pastor Venable said, thank you for allowing us to come into your church, baptizing us in water. I know that we were not, he said, we were long-haired hippie freaks. And you let us in and told us more about the Lord. Anyway, he said, he may be your father, but he's not your old man. Okay. There's a reverence for him. Hallelujah. So I acknowledge he's my daddy, Abba Father. But I approach him with all of the dignity and honor and reverence that is due him. Our Father. Which, oh, there it is again. I'm blown away. Boom. Our Father which is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. So before we present our petition, before we go any further, we bow before him and reverence him. Praise God. Amen. And we're reverencing him right now in this service. So would you ask, well, I'm going to get real close to my brother today. So I usually have a mic in my hand for him to do this.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, you said trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him. And he will direct our path. Lord, we thank you for
Lord.
Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your joy, Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord. Have your way in our lives today, Lord God. Move mightily in the service, Lord. Let your perfect will be done. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church, hearts to receive and to contain and to be obedient to your voice, Lord. Let your divine will be done in the service. Meet every need that's present, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to put you first in our lives. Thank you for victory, Lord. Thank you for peace. Thank you for deliverance, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's worship. Lord, let me finish that scripture because we left it hanging. In all things, say everything. Yeah. Hallelujah. In all things, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything.
Amen.
Let's turn that around. Pray about everything. Then don't worry about anything.
Amen.
Leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Praise God. Don't pray and pick it back up, but leave it there. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. God is faithful. You can trust him with what is bothering you. You can trust him with what's bugging you. Saw a t-shirt the other day, had a big green frog on it. It said, I wish I could eat what's bugging me. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not that simple, but you can give it to God. Amen. We must give it to God. We've got to get out from under the burden so that we can represent a king and a kingdom for this world to see.
Amen.
That we can have peace in the midst of storms. We can have peace in the time of trouble that we're experiencing in the perilous times of the last days. Hallelujah. We can actually have joy. We can not just survive it, but we can thrive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, having said that, before I preach, let's give him the praise and glory that is due him today. Hallelujah. El Shaddai is one of those declarations of him. El Shaddai, which means the many-breasted one. Shad is breast in the Hebrew tongue. The many-breasted one. I can't help but think of a little runt piglet trying to get some nutrition from mama pig, and yet there's so many of them, they're all pushing him out of the way, drinking up all the nutrition, and I use Charlotte's Web. Amen. I don't like spiders. There's no good spider to me. Amen. They say they'll eat roaches and bugs, and you know it's okay to have one of those kind of non-poisonous spiders, and I'd rather spray the roaches and stomp them than have a spider and crawling all over me at night. Amen. Anyway, that's just me. I don't care for spiders. But Charlotte's Web was a good old spider up there. But the whole beginning of it is her daddy was going to kill a runt pig because it would not be able to thrive. Being so little, all the others would push it out of the way. Amen. I'm going to tell you something about God. He doesn't deal with us just as a group, but individually and personally, to the degree that Jesus said the very hair of your head is numbered, and God knoweth them all together. Now, I love my wife, but I have never counted. Oh, darling, darling, you mean so much to me. I want to know how many hairs there are on your head. Sit down right here, and I got a calculator. Can you imagine? No, we don't, but God does.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes when you feel like he's aloof in his heaven and you're just down here, some little dot down here, no, you're not. Jesus said there, he said, the fowls of the air, a sparrow is the least of the birds in the marketplace. They sell for almost nothing. And yet not one of them falls, not one of them lives out its lifetime and falls to the ground without your Father.
Amen.
It touches him when the least of his creation falls to the ground. His heart is touched by the least of his creation. And then Jesus said, and you are worth more than many sparrows. Hallelujah. Praise God. If he so clothe the lilies of the field,
yes,
will he not clothe ye of little faith? Yes. Praise God. Feeds the birds of the air, will he not provide for you? Praise God. This God that we serve is El Shaddai. Say it with El Shaddai.
El
Shaddai. Amen. The many-breasted one. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you may feel like my faith is small and my experiencing God is not comparable to this one. That way it doesn't have to be. You're loved equally. At the foot of the cross, there's a great equalizer. There's neither rich nor poor, nor bond, nor free, nor male, nor female, but we are one in Jesus today.
Yes,
and the God I serve, it doesn't just help us get by. He's more than enough. When he takes a poor boy's lunch and supernaturally feeds a multitude with it, there is 12, and I know how church people eat, so this is amazing. Amen. Church people can put it away. All church people say, amen.
Amen.
All right, listen. He fed a multitude with a poor boy's lunch.
Yeah.
Something like a few sardines and a little crust of bread, and yet it kept going and kept going and kept going. Listen, and they took up. This is key to me. I get excited. Amen. They took up 12 bushel of fragments.
Yeah.
Talk about leftovers, 12 bushel of fragments. And I am not the Lord, but because that little boy offered his lunch, I believe he took some bushels home with him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ain't God good, Jerry Clower used to say, from Louisiana. Yes, he is, and he's more than enough, God. You find it. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 34 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Amen. You have to have spiritual taste buds. Amen. And I'm not talking about something that physically you taste. The word is perceive in the Hebrew. A personal revelation of God that is unique in the sense that it's to you. You get it after a while. You hear it. Everybody hears it, but not everybody gets it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
Not everybody gets it. Some people, it just goes like this. Some people just, they have ears to hear and they hear not, and eyes to see and they see not.
Amen.
But when you really, really come to Christ as your Savior, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, He gives you revelation, personal.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not just an experience. It's a realization that comes through a revelation. Flesh and blood did not reveal Jesus unto you.
Amen.
That proves you have spiritual taste buds.
Amen.
You can perceive Him.
Amen.
Peter said, he asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, "Who do men say that I am? Some think you're Elijah, come back. Some think you're John the Baptist, reincarnated, whatever." They got all kinds of speculations and ideas about who you are. And he asked not the theologian, any theologian, he asked the fisherman, "Who do you say that I am?" And without skipping a beat, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Amen.
He said, "Yeah, and you're Peter." And upon this rock, this revelation of who Jesus is by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. Not Peter, by the way.
Amen.
Peter is Petros, which means little stone.
Right. Amen.
But this rock that he talked about, upon this rock is Petra.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody seen the insurance commercial? What is it? The one that shows this huge granite mountain?
Prudential.
Yeah. And if you get that insurance, you got a piece of the rock. Amen. This mighty mountain, I got a piece of the rock. So do I. But it's not insurance, it's assurance. Can you say amen? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation and purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Glory to God. Amen. Psalm 34 said, "Oh, taste for yourself." Praise God. Perceive spiritually and know the God that you are serving, that He is good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let's have one more praise song today. It's 11:47. We didn't kill that time, did we? We spent that time, but we didn't kill it today. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody else getting antsy. It's going on 12. We got things to do. We got some things to do too. And let's spend a little time in the Word of God today. We don't cut the worship of God because it's so vitally important to preparing our heart for the Word of God. Amen. It's kind of like plowing the ground so it's ready for the planting of the seed. I like what, I think it was Moody. Was it Moody? Spurgeon. Moody. I think it was D.L. Moody. What was he? A shoe salesman? Somebody know about me? I think he was a shoe salesman. He was cold in Chicago. He decided to walk into a storefront church. Could have been this one. No storefront to it, but a little church with a group of people that braved the cold winter in Chicago to get out and go to church. Isn't that amazing? They went to church in a blizzard, almost blizzard conditions. He went in to warm up and heard the gospel and came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. So the next time you feel like, or I feel like it, we're insignificant. Of course, we have the ministry on the internet that reaches out to wherever God wants to send it, praise God. But we are right here in the city of Tampa. We've been here for 53 years and counting, preaching the gospel. We've been in a church with a balcony and people sitting in the balcony. We've been in a church with enough people that we had pews, but we had to put chairs in the aisle. We were concerned about, the fire marshal saying you got to keep that open in case there's some kind of a fire. We baptized many, many, many people in water. Amen. We've done the work that God called us and sent us to do. And He's not done yet.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So if you came to look at an old guy drone on this morning with a monotone, isn't God good? Don't you think He's good? If you think He's good, could you say amen? That's not me.
No.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you have your Bible, God has quickly changed my message this morning. He does that a lot of times. He challenges me. He says, you think you can find that? And I said, Lord, I think I can. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, if you would turn with me. Let's talk about why we're together here today and what that means. And why there's a scripture that says this. And I want to explain that to you today. Before I read this scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, I'll give you the verses in a moment. Forsake not. This is not a suggestion. This is the word of God. This is the apostle speaking, the apostle Paul speaking. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but much more, as you see the day approaching. We are not children of the dark, the scriptures declare, that day would come upon us as a thief, for as a snare, a trap being triggered, it will come upon all the inhabitants of the earth, but not the people who know what's coming, and not only know what's coming, but know that He's coming.
Amen.
Praise God. You are not children of the darkness. You're children of the light. Hallelujah. So we should be concerned enough to want to get in God's house, hear God's word, help one another, and encourage one another, especially as that day approaches. Because before that day, and we're talking about the tribulation period, the coming of the Lord precedes that. So if we know that's coming, the day of the Lord hasteneth greatly, the scripture said. It burneth like an oven. I see every man on that day with his hands upon his hips, his loins, as a travail, as a woman with child.
Yeah.
He said it's going to be a day like it's never been, and you know it's coming.
Yeah.
It speaks of in Peter, the earth, the elements being on fire with fervent heat and being dissolved.
Yeah.
And seeing that you know such things are going to occur and are coming closer. What manner of men and women should you be in all manner of holy living and reverent living?
Amen.
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 We should be drawing closer to the Lord, not trying to just keep our foot in the door in case we need a miracle or in case Jesus comes. We need to be drawing close to the Lord.
Amen.
But there's another reason. We need to be helping one another,
yes,
sowing in to one another. We're not just a church or a denomination. We're non-denominational. We're affiliated with Independent Assemblies of God International. This is not a denomination. It's a fellowship of independent ministries worldwide.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's that way because we don't have to run it through a committee.
Amen.
We just have to follow the Lord.
Amen.
Obey the scriptures. Hallelujah. There's not going to be a vote on whether the Bible is the authority. We're going to declare it to be an authority.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Not going to have a big, you know, bunch of people come together. Pray for the Southern Baptists. They got a movement that would like to do away with the authenticity and the inerrancy of the Scripture. There are certain denominations doing away with the blood of Jesus. We don't need, they say, a bloody gospel. And yet without the shedding of blood, no one can be saved and no sin can be forgiven. No wonder the devil wants to get in and take away these fundamental, foundational truths that the faith is absolutely built on. There are preachers who do not believe in the resurrection. I think it was in L.A. Of course, since it's L.A., you can almost expect it.
Yeah.
Amen. In Los Angeles, one of the journalists of one of the papers, back when we had papers, interviewed four or five pastors about their Easter sermon and all of that, and come to find out that three out of five did not believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday. Amazing how far drifting away from the faith. We're supposed to put up a fight for it, to literally, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints.
Amen.
That is built upon, not men's ideas or lack of them, amen, built upon the apostles, the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching. What manner of people ought we to be? We should be drawing near the Lord, but we should also be encouraging one another. And that's why it says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching, exhorting one another.
Amen.
Encouraging, strongly encouraging. It's a strong word in the Greek, strongly encouraging one another in a particular way, not in a general sense. This is not just positive thinking and encouraging positive thinking. It means to strongly encourage one another in right living.
Amen.
Why? Because we're in the time preceding that day of the Lord that is hastening greatly.
Amen.
Therefore, preceding the coming of Jesus Christ just before that day. And the Bible said before that day and before the son of perdition, the Antichrist, be revealed.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen in the faith community. Has to be the faith community.
Amen.
Not just in the world. The world don't know him. They can't fall away from him.
Amen.
It's the faith community. It's us.
Amen.
There shall come a falling away first. Then that man of sin shall be revealed.
Amen.
If we're not in the falling away now, I don't know when it will ever occur.
The word says, we're not in darkness, that day should overtake us as a thief.
That's right.
Amen.
Exactly. We're not children of darkness that day overtake us as a thief.
Amen.
In fact, we have a promise if we obey and we keep the faith. And we have that promise in the book of Revelation to the church of Philadelphia.
Yes,
not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
No.
You know what Philadelphia means? I don't know. They came up with a name for it. Doesn't fit anymore, Pennsylvania.
Right.
Brotherly love.
Yeah.
The city of brotherly love. Well, there was a church that Jesus commended in the book of Revelation to the church of Philadelphia, right? Because you have kept the word of my patience.
Yeah.
I will keep you from the hour of temptation. The testing is that's about. It's not just the devil tempting. It's testing.
Right.
This testing time.
Right.
I will keep you from the hour of testing that has come to try. How many? All the inhabitants of the earth.
Amen.
Because you have kept the word of my patience, literally translated. You have patiently kept my word. In spite of the falling away, in spite of the compromises, you have patiently kept my word. And because you kept it, I'm going to keep you. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I'm so glad I'm... You know how he kept? The Bible said, and you're kept by the power of God himself unto the day of salvation.
Yeah.
That's the kind of... The God who created heaven and earth is keeping you.
Amen.
Those that my Father hath given me, those that have come to Christ because they've come under conviction, because no man comes to me except my Father draw them.
Amen.
You don't just get saved. You respond to a call of God.
Amen.
By the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You can't come when you want to, when you desire to, when you're old and gray, amen,
yeah.
And you're too pooped to party anymore, and then I'll come to God. You will not come to God unless the Father calls you and you respond to the call.
Yeah.
You can't just get saved on your terms when you are ready.
That's right.
No man comes to me except my Father
draw him. That's right.
You understand these are the words of Jesus, because I get hard looks, and I'm used to them, so I'm going to preach right over all the hard looks. And hard hearts, too. No man. No man. That's why there's going to be so many people that did not respond to his call and decided, I'm going to get saved on my terms when I'm ready and stand before Christ and call him Lord. So they got to think they're saved, and they got to know who he is. Because no man, Jesus said, can call me Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Is that the words of Christ? Churches are so desperate to get people and finances in them, they don't deal with these crucial issues to where people spend eternity. Because a businessman that went to church to enhance his business. I was part of Full Businessmen's Organization International. Demas Shakarian started it. And I remember a businessman that came to Christ in one of their meetings. He was a member of a prominent church, had been going for years, giving to that church for years. And he said, I didn't come to Jesus. I didn't even hear the gospel like I'm hearing it in the church I attended. But I am a contractor. And there is a guy who owns a lumber yard that attends that fancy church. Amen. And if I hook up to that church, I can hook up with this guy that has the lumber yard, and you know, we start pulling these scriptures out, as much as lieth within you, do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. Yeah. I'm of the household of faith. I'm a member of that church. That's not what makes you the household of faith. The Bible said that we belong to Christ, and we are His members. In particular, we are baptized into Christ. You can get baptized into a denominational organization, but that doesn't make you a Christian. No man comes to me except my Father draw him. And no man comes to my Father except by me. Amen. There's no circumventing. Jesus is central to salvation. You want to really bear down on it? Let's bear down on it. Let's double down on it. There is no other name. Oh, Brother Venable, now you're politically incorrect. Thank the good Lord. I am and will remain politically incorrect. I am not going to tell somebody they're going to heaven when the Bible says they're going to hell. I will not do that. Amen. There are people doing it all over the place. I will not do that. Amen. I will not tell you you're right when you're wrong. Amen. I will not tell myself I'm right when the Bible says I'm wrong. Amen. Have you found out that I'm not a reed shaken by the wind yet? That's what John the Baptist said. What did you come out to see? What did you come out to see? A reed shaken by the wind? That I'm bending however the wind blows? I go with the flow? I'm going with what's trending? No, honey. He was going with what was true. Right. Praise Amen. God. Well, Brother Venable, if you'd just lighten up, you could get more people, and you could do this, and you could do that. I've heard it all before. Yeah, I've heard it all before. Yeah. Amen. I'm an outcast from some organizations that it is an honor. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. It's an honor when they say, we don't want him around. Yeah. Thank the good Lord. Thank the good Lord, because I do not want to be. I feel like, well, I hate to use this illustration, but it's so good. Yeah. Groucho Marx. Does anybody old enough to remember Groucho Marx? Yeah. He said, I would not be a member. I would not join any organization that would accept me as a member. Hallelujah. Listen, friend. Vance Havner, wonderful scholar of Scripture and preacher, pulpiteer extraordinaire. Vance Havner wrote a lot of books, and a good theologian on top of that. He said, I believe that I have preached myself out of many pulpits. In other words, I'm not going to cut the word to be accepted. Amen. I'm going to tell the truth because God's word is truth. Can you say amen? And it's a sanctifying truth. Sanctify them through thy word, a cleansing to set us apart, for thy word is truth. Hallelujah. And if, John 8:30-31, if you continue in my word, and if you continue to come here, you're going to continue in the word. Hallelujah. If you open your Bible, you're continuing in the word. You will know the truth. Not just up here intellectually, but experientially in your life. Hallelujah. And the truth will make you free. Keep you free. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm even, you know, there's so much in here. Our time is fleeting. Listen, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is.
But exhorting
one another. I like that, Brother Taylor. Actually, I was in, you gave me your Strong's exhaustive concordance. It's got every word that's ever been put in the Bible. It is thick and it is heavy. Yeah. Amen. I could do curls with it. but I have to use my glasses to see it.
Yeah.
But I went to Job 22, beginning with verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby great good shall come unto you. I want to pull out that word acquaint. Now you can do that on your computer, except my old computer is just broke down. It'll do certain things, but there's other things that said I'm not going to do that. Amen. You ever had one of those computers? I don't do that. Why don't you do that? Your computer, you're smart, you're intelligent, you got all this, and you won't do that. I just told you to do this. And it said, I'm not going to do it. So I pick up the Strong's and I said, I can find it right here. You don't have to do it.
Right.
Ugly old computer. But I found out something. Brother Taylor beat me to that word in Strong's. You had it marked. Not only did you have acquaint marked, but you had the Hebrew word for acquaint. You had it marked too. So I pulled over and I got all this stuff. I see a little check right there. And I said, Brother, he done been there. He'd been there before I got there. Praise God. Looking at the same thing out of Job chapter 22 and verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him. Do you know him? More importantly, does he know you?
Amen.
Because a lot of people are going to stand before Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done mighty works in your name? Do we not know you? And he say unto them, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. You can claim me all your... Listen. No man can call me Lord except by the Holy Ghost. And if it's because of the revelation of Christ, because of the work of the Holy Spirit to convict us and draw us to Christ, the Father uses the Holy Spirit to do that particular, peculiar work.
Amen.
The Father draws us to Him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. I remember when I came to the Lord. I got to give this testimony in these few moments. I remember when I came to the Lord at 12 years old. I fell away from the Lord, but I came to know Him in a personal, real way at 12 years old.
Yeah.
We went to a church on Holland. It was near Holland and Astor. It was a small church of about 50 people, and we attended that. My dad attended it. Ronald Short, that used to play on our platform, he used to attend there with the bluegrass music, bluegrass gospel music. My dad played the fiddle, not the violin. He played a fiddle. He would call a violin long-haired music. Amen. I don't know what that's all about. You know, this highfalutin stuff, hoity-toity music. But if you get a fiddle out and you don't play it, you saw the fiddle. Yeah. Amen. Bluegrass gospel. And Ronald Short was part of that. And I remember we were in that church, and it was Pentecostal church. And it was a Wednesday night, me and my dad. And the glory of going to church, what drew me to church was my dad broke, always broke. We had no gas to get to church and back. But my great-grandmother, she would come and slip him $2. And I knew right where the place was, how late it was open. That's why I prayed the service would get over soon. Because they had milkshakes that make your tongue slap the roof of your mouth till it almost beat your brains out. I mean, that was a good milkshake. And I couldn't wait to get out of church. Not only that drew me to church, I wore a little bow tie. He got on a bow tie. I wore a little bow tie. I had a little vest that I wore with my shirt. Because a girl, I found out that you don't just throw rocks at them stuff. They were actually cute and nice and pretty. And I'd never had a girlfriend. And I got passed a note. A young lady that knew a young lady passed me a note and said, that young lady said to give you this. And I thought, really? Ah, and I opened it up and said, so-and-so likes you. That's all it took. Likes you. A girl likes me. And actually, from that point on, because I used to be short. From that point on, when I went to church to make myself taller, I stood up like this. To try to stretch myself a little bit. Now you don't have to sit no. But how tall are you right now? 5'10". Yeah, that beats 5'6" by 4 inches. Amen. Hallelujah. I could be Zacchaeus almost. Anyway, I had that note, and I'd come to church for that other reason, because this gal likes me, and so I would stand like that. And somebody asked my dad, after the service that second week when I was standing like that for the service singing, has your son had military, does he go to military school? Because they actually asked my dad. He told me, said, they asked me about that. Said, you're standing up so straight and tall. I said, yeah, because that girl whose head's, how tall are you? 5'11"? Yeah. You right at 6 foot. You might have wished. Next to me, you're
basketball school.
Though. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that gal was kind of like her. She's taller than me. And not only that, but on the way home, my dad would make a game out of it. We're on our way home, and we get near this. It was actually a burger place. It's that Biff Burger, I think it was. Had sesame seeds on it. The bun, and they had those milkshakes, and he would get right almost to it, and he'd start fighting the wheel. I'm fighting the steering wheel. The car's going to turn in here, Bobby. I can't control it. I thought, don't control it. Come on. I've been waiting on this milkshake all night. I don't care about the singing. I don't care about the preaching. It's all right. The music is pretty good. Amen. So now we're going to have some fun. So that, you know, let's go to church so I can get me a girlfriend. And let's go to church so I can get me a milkshake. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So this is one of those nights, like any other night, that I'm wanting them to hurry and get done. I've got my note from the girl. And by the way, I'd look over at her, because now I knew who sent the note, and she's looking at me. There's a country music song. I was looking back to see. If she was looking back to see, I was looking back to see if she was looking back to see. She was looking. Anyway, it's a country music song. It's hard to get. I'm looking back to see if she was looking back at me.
Right. Yeah.
That's it. That's. But there's a whole thing you go through before you get there. Amen. Just like I am my own grandpa. You ever heard that one? You haven't heard that one? You haven't missed anything. I heard it. I still haven't figured it out. I haven't figured it out. But it's one of those nights. I don't have my mind on the Lord. I don't have my mind on heaven or hell or these big issues of life. You know, I'm 12 years old, and milkshakes and making googly eyes at that girl, that's my night. It was made. Googly eyes, you don't know what they are. Probably you can't remember, but it's when you look longingly at someone. Oh, baby. Anyway, that's a whole different thing, and I won't go there. Service is over. Clap, clap. He finally got done. Hallelujah. And I'm just ready to go. But we're in a Pentecostal church, and it ain't over because he says it's over. So he's closing. We're all getting ready to leave. And he said, I believe God wants to do something else. And I thought, oh. And three ladies came forward. One played the piano. And two of them began to harmonize together. I'll never forget the song as long as I live. Because I'm sitting there. And this song that they're singing, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Yeah. Calling for you and for me. Yeah. Over life's ramparts, he's waiting and watching. Yeah. Watching for you and for me. Yeah. Come home. Yeah. Come home. All ye who are weary. I wasn't weary, I just didn't know that I needed the Lord yet, but the Holy Spirit began to make it real to a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. He began to draw me to Jesus, and I began to weep. And it was the Spirit of God drawing. No man comes to the Father. No man comes to me except my Father. Draw. That's the unique work of the Holy Spirit. When he comes, and he has come into our world, he will, the King James says, convince the world of sin. Sounds initially like he will convince you that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, but the actual word is convict in the Greek. He will convict you of sin. If you're in here and you don't know Jesus, or anyone comes and they don't know Jesus and they don't want to know Jesus, they're going to be uncomfortable. Amen. I call the Holy Spirit the hound of heaven with all deep due reverence.
Yeah.
Because when you start praying for somebody, you put the hound of heaven upon them. Hallelujah. Amen. He convicted me and he drew me. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. And I came to Christ that night as my Savior. My dad and I slept in the same bed. My mother had a terrible divorce. And so we were staying with Grandma's and Great-Grandma's house. And we would recite the Lord's Prayer together. First time that I could pray with my dad as a Christian. Later on, my dad told me, he said, we have a unique relationship after he had come to our church and I was his pastor now. He said, we have a unique relationship. I'm your father, you're my son, but you're my pastor and I'm one of your sheep. I said, that is unique. And not only that, he said, now that you're a Christian, you're my brother, and I'm your brother. Amen. I'm your father, you're my son, but you're my brother, and I'm your pastor, and I'm one of your sheep. He let me, as his son, feed him the word of God and respect me and the anointing and call upon my life. What a joy it was to share Jesus with my dad and share the faith with my dad and pray together with my dad. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He went through a nervous breakdown right after I came to the Lord. Complete nervous breakdown. And I used to sit on the back porch and both of us sitting there. And he was troubled, so troubled. And I would hold him by the hand and pray for him and with him that God would bring him through that. And God brought him through that. But it left him scarred with emotional scars that he needed grace to help him through life. Praise God. My brother. I like the way Paul put it about Epaphroditus. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm hyphenating it. Paul is in prison. The church hears about it. And they send someone to bring him some money. But more than that, to bring him there, let him know they're praying for him, they're standing with him to give him that encouragement that even this mighty apostle needed. And when this guy was a gopher. He was the guy they just send on the errands. And on the way to where Paul was in prison, he fell sick unto death and almost died. But as soon as he could get back on his feet, he came and finished his journey to minister the love of God from that church to the Apostle Paul in prison. And the Apostle Paul said these words about him. He said, I don't know who he is to you. I don't know if he holds any great position. I'm paraphrasing. But he said, here's what he is to me and what God has made him to me. Number one, he's my brother. He's my brother. He's my brother. That word brother or brethren in the New Covenant, someone who did the math said it was at least 341 or 343 times. Either the word or the root word from it is used. That means the New Testament church was to recognize each other as spiritual family.
Yeah.
Praise God. Right. Tertullian, who wrote about that church as a historian, not as a Christian with some dog in the fight or axe to grind, but just looking at what was happening. He said there's a new movement. They call themselves Christians. And there's something unique about them. When they meet one another, even if they've never met before and they find out somebody else is a Christian, they accept one another and love one another as if they were long lost friends.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a testimony. And Jesus said that testimony in itself can be a powerful, potent witness to the world.
Yeah.
By this, everybody say, singular.
Singular.
Shall all men know. You can tell them all day. You can wear a cross so heavy it bends you over. You can have a bumper sticker, amen, on your car. Amen. Listen. But by this shall all men know that you are my true disciples.
Yeah.
If you have love one to another, not love one for another. Oh, I love you in my heart. You got to do more than love in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. If you see your brother naked, you don't clothe him. How dwelleth the love of God? You got to do something. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. It's not just something you hide in your heart, but something that was visible to the world, the gainsaying world at that time, and it needs to be visible in this time, this coming together. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together as a body, ministering to one another, exhorting one another, strongly encouraging one another. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you know that day is approaching. And you know your brother and sister and my brother and sister are under the pressure of the perilous times of the end time. They're under the pressure to compromise. They're under the pressure to go with the flow, which is now away from God.
Amen.
Forsake not To many people now, it's an option. But we're not islands. Everybody's got their own little cubicle with God. The body doesn't function that way. It wasn't meant to.
No.
If I had read Ephesians 4, it would say God has set in the church the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist and teacher, that he might perfect the church till we might come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus, grow up into him who is the head, overcome all the false prophets and all the games they play on us. But it said he had put us in there for the perfecting of the church, for the work of the ministry. And when we see ministry, a lot of people are still trying to figure out, what's my ministry? What's my ministry? I had somebody call me last year, said, and he's 60-something years old. And he said, I'm trying to find out what my ministry is. So I took him to Ephesians 4. Let it start right here. I don't know if he's going to use you to go out and be a Billy Graham. I don't know. A little late to start, but it's never too late, because Jesus in 3 years did more than anybody's ever done.
Amen.
Hallelujah, under anointed ministry. But I can tell you where to start your ministry. Would you like to know where ministry begins? When you see that word ministry, the perfecting of the saints, Ephesians 4, for the work of the ministry. What ministry?
Edifying of the body of Christ.
There it is. There it is. For the work of the ministry, the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Until every part is able to bring something to help all the other parts. Mm-hmm. What makes church? Church is the body of Christ. It's not all belonging to a particular denomination. It's when we become part and parcel of one another. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the edifying. Does that sound like exhorting one another?
Amen.
Coming together to do that very thing for that very purpose. For the ministry of helping and praying for and encouraging one another.
Amen.
For ye are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and his members in particular.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
And everybody brings something that somebody else needs. I'll tell you how that works in 14 minutes. So in 14 minutes, I'll tell you. No, I'll tell it to you right here and right now. I can't help it. I got the joy of the Lord. I can't help it. There's so many people don't have it. God gave me a double portion. In fact, I asked him, I said, for all the people that don't know who they are in Jesus and who Jesus is in them, and they don't get it, give it to me. Don't waste it. Pour it on me. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he does. It won't take 14 minutes. Listen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we'll never have it until we help one another get it. With the help of the Holy Spirit and helping one another. But this experience happened to me. We were poor folk. We were poverty level, for heaven's sakes. I don't need a number. I knew. We couldn't afford garbage service. So we dug holes out on the back of our property. We had an acre on sugar sand. Nothing grew there but palmettos. And we had a trailer. We had no mobile home or modular home or whatever they want to call it. We had a trailer on that property.
Yeah.
And we couldn't afford garbage service, so I went out in the back part of that little piece of land we were on, and I dug holes. And we put our garbage in the hole, and I covered it up. Next month, garbage piles up, I digs me another hole. If they ever go out back to put in a swimming pool. You can imagine their surprise. Can you say amen?
Amen?
We were poor folk, man. I had a Volkswagen. It was a Volkswagen, kind of like a little mini station wagon thing. It was pretty. It was a hunter green. It got good gas mileage. It had a rear engine, you know, in the back. And so it wasn't the Beetle. It was different. And so I was coming home from church, and it made a racket. And I made it into the yard, and then smoke began to boil. And I thought, oh, no, engine. It was engine trouble, bad engine trouble. Had it diagnosed, they said it will take more to fix it, new engine, than it would to get you a used car. And I thought, Lord, I just gave in the church this morning. I love you as my Savior. I didn't forsake going to church. I was there before anybody almost. Why did this happen to me? And I thought, well, I'm not going to quit God over it, but I got some questions, you know. You remember the song? We'll understand it better in the by and by. Well, I need to understand. I need to understand something here and now, not wait till the by and by. I need some help. But it hurt me, you know. And then I got another car, and somebody hit us. They hit us where? On the way home from church again. And I thought, Lord, why'd you let them hit me? I mean, you're a young Christian. You've got questions. Yeah. Why don't it hit that guy that went fishing on his way home from Tampa Bay instead of going to church? Yeah. Not me. And then the highway patrol came. And actually, it was a lady that hit us. And she must have been on the way home from church because she told the truth. Because the highway patrol was trying to blame us because she's a pretty lady. He was trying to blame us before he even asked. Mm-hmm. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. Yeah. I mean, literally, have mercy. So I'm kind of down, you know. Now I got a damaged car and no insurance to fix it. I had insurance PIP. So the next Sunday when I went in church, after those two events, car broke down. We borrowed $600 from a high-interest loan company and bought a 57 Plymouth that had 100-something thousand miles on it. And back then, 100,000 miles meant your rings were getting ready to go. All valves are sticky, gas is drinking, big old fins on the back. I went to church the next Sunday, and everybody's worshiping, and I'm kind of thinking, Lord, did you forget me? Did you just forget me? Church is over. Sunday night service, we walk outside. And a lady who's known as a prayer warrior and her son, both of them Christian. I didn't know them personally, but they knew I'd come to the Lord. They walked out and they said, Mr. Venable, I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what you've been going through. But last night, I got up because God told me to pray for you. I thought, God told you to pray for me? I said, yeah. She said, I went in to the living room so I wouldn't wake nobody up. Said, but my son was already in the living room at the couch on his knees. And I said, son, what are you doing up? He said, God told me to pray for Mr. Venable. I don't know what he's going through. Oh, man. He hadn't forgotten me.
Amen.
He hadn't forgotten me.
Praise God.
I'm going through trouble, but there are people that God is speaking to.
Amen.
That's how the body.
Yeah.
You talk about encouragement.
Yeah.
I thought, devil, you had me doubting. You had me questioning God. I still don't understand all that. Don't get it wrong. But I know God loves me.
Amen.
The apostle, I got to close with this. Means nothing. Don't get excited. Anyway, but at least I'm trying to close, okay? The apostle Paul said this. He said, I was beaten with rods on three occasions.
Yeah.
I received 39 stripes save one on 5 separate occasions. I was stoned and left for dead. I was shipwrecked and was in the deep for a day and a night. I fell among thieves and was robbed. I was an hungered. I was naked. I didn't have a cloak in the winter. And I was hungry except somebody take me in. I went through all of these things, perils. He called them perils, dangers, troubles.
Yeah.
And I'm persuaded that nothing shall separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Nothing present, nothing coming, angels, devils, nor any other thing. For these light afflictions, when Christ intercedes for you and other people like Epaphroditus intercedes and ministers to you, you're in this battle, but you're never alone. And God is with you, and He'll show you. He'll show you. Praise God. Hallelujah. These light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us a greater weight of glory. The fact that He went through and wasn't kept from. Encourage people that are going through that God is going to take me through. And it doesn't mean He doesn't love me.
Amen.
He still loves me. He's still with me. And He's going to take me through. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because He took Him through.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Mr. Venable, we prayed for you. God loves you so much. That's the body. As a young Christian, that's exactly what I needed to defeat doubt, overcome this questioning of God's faithfulness, and in particular, questioning His love for me. Because you're all powerful. If you love me, why would you let this occur? And I begin to shift from what was happening to me to what He has done for me at the cross.
Amen.
To prove that love once and for all.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. What you suffered for me is nothing from what I've been through.
That's right.
These are hard times. They come and they go. But the cross is central. The cross is ever there, declaring, I love you. Hallelujah. Enough to die on this cross for you. And it began to put a foundation under me. Praise God. Hallelujah. If He loved us enough, if He loved us enough, Romans 8:32, if He loved us enough that He would offer up, that means as a sacrifice, His only Son, how will He not also with Him give us all things? Praise God. So Epaphroditus, you're my brother.
Amen.
He's my brother.
Yeah.
Not only that, he's my companion in labor.
Yeah.
He went through something to come to me, but he came to me anyway. He's my companion. I'm not alone. When the burden gets heavy, I'm not alone. I've got a companion in labor. When sorrows are shared, burdens are shared, they're made lighter.
Right.
Hallelujah. He's my companion in labor. And on top of that, He's my fellow soldier.
Praise God.
We're in this battle together. And I'm not alone. There are others.
Yeah.
Praise God. In this fight that we are in for the faith.
Yeah.
And because of the faith. When the what was it? They made a movie of it. When the American and the Allies were trapped, their back was against the English Channel, and the Germans were closing in. They would have destroyed thousands of them. But they got boats. Anybody that had any kind of a boat, from a rowboat to a tugboat to a shrimp boat, whatever they had, civilians came in boats to take shoulders off of that. But until they saw this rescue effort, they felt like we're all going to die here. And one man who was there, he said, I had a feeling I've never had in a crowd of people like we were in, all of us soldiers. I felt like every man on that beach was my brother. Yeah. There was a camaraderie that you don't find at the job and a lot of times at church that needs to be there.
Yeah.
Every man on that beach was my brother, because they had this common association with one another, that each other understood what it's like to be facing death, but we're not facing it. We're facing it together. We're fighting together. Hallelujah. We're in this together. And it's the getting together. Was it Havner? It was Havner. He said, I'd rather have a thousand people with all kinds of problems and issues coming to church that need to be met than to have one devil. All it takes is one, the inserting of one who is going to try to undermine us as brethren.
Yeah.
One person who's going to try to separate us. Six things the Lord doth hate. Seven are an abomination unto him.
Amen.
Number one on the list, I don't have time to go down the list. Number one is pride.
Right, right.
And number seven, which is an abomination to God, he that sows discord. We've had them come, we've had them go, and they did a job on us, but God is for us.
Amen.
God is with us.
Amen.
Amen. He that sows discord among the brethren. Divide and conquer is still Satan's tool of choice, because if two of us on earth agree, come in harmony with one another, not just coming together agreeing on the need, but agreeing with each other before we agree on the need to be met.
Yeah.
It's the word harmony. A symphony orchestra has many different instruments, but they, when they all come into togetherness to make one sound, they harmonize together. And that word agree means to harmonize. If two of you on earth harmonize together, amen. Anything they ask in that situation, hallelujah, it'll be given them of my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. The great miracles of the book of Acts, they were in, listen to it, one mind and one accord. Everybody say harmonize.
Harmonize.
Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Don't ever be a pawn of the devil to sow discord.
Amen.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
Amen.
Hallelujah. People who don't try to emphasize our differences, but see our common ground together. My brother, my companion in labor, my fellow soldier. Hallelujah. And he brought more than maybe a financial gift or maybe the greetings, the condolences. No, he brought himself to Paul.
Yeah.
It's amazing. A man of Paul's stature and experience was so grateful for one man who was nobody except somebody who just was a gopher for the church. But he was more than that to the apostle in prison. And if we could be that to one another, we could build each other up, be there for each other, stand with each other, and see what the Bible said. All of the fivefold ministry is so that we can, for the work of the ministry, to edify and build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
Now, if you pursue my ministry before getting that ministry, you will come to church to further your ministry, not to be part of a ministry of building up the entire body. We've had them come use our platform to try to get their singing ministry to take off.
Yeah.
Our platform, in fact, is one lady came She tried to get all of our musicians off of our platform to go with her to fulfill her ministry of singing. She had a singing ministry. She tried to take my son and my dad and our pianist and the bass player, tried to take our entire orchestra for our Sunday morning service. She had no desire to be part of a body and work from that body. I don't try to control anybody, but that wasn't about her ministry had the spotlight.
Yeah.
My ministry, there are people who just want to be seen and heard, to be honest about it. The ministry begins. So if you're looking for your ministry, look to the right. Look to the left. Can you say, yeah, look around behind you. Right here sitting your ministry today if you're a Christian. According to the Word of God, forsake not the assembling yourself. How? Together. But much more. Because it's going to be much more needed as that day approaches. Hallelujah. And guess what? You don't have to be convicted today. You're here. Praise God. Everybody say praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. I showed up. I want to have one more song and let's shake somebody's hand before you leave. Can we do that today? Praise God. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? Did you get something out of this message today? Glory to God.